And we have a lovely testimony from Dot Johnson too tonight, to the keeping power of the Lord Jesus and how wonderful he is, and an answer to prayer.
Well, I'd just like to say that what a joy it is for me to be here tonight and be able to tell you something of what the Lord has done in my life since I was here just 12 months ago. At that time, it was the first time ever that I had come to the ladies' house party at Tookley, this particular party. And I was privileged then to hear my daughter give a testimony to what the Lord had done in her life. It was the furthest thought from my mind that this year I would be doing the same thing. But as we read and we've been singing, He is able. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. And this is what he's done for me. A lot of you would know that for a long time, in fact almost 20 years, my husband and I, although we lived in the same house, we didn't live as husband and wife. And this didn't make for a very happy situation. I had completely turned against that part of marriage, without which there is really no marriage. And no way in the whole wide world was I ever going to be able to change or go back ever to a normal married life. I can't emphasise you on you enough just how strongly I felt on this point, and it was an utter impossibility in my book that ever I was going to change. For about 13 to 14 years the marriage went on, and then it began to fizzle out, and it wasn't long before there was no marriage at all. We had four children, and I used to think to myself, when the children were off my hands, I would just leave. But I found that when that happened, two girls got married, the boy got to work away from home, and the youngest one just did the in thing and got a flat, but I still couldn't leave. I felt that that was only going to make for more unhappiness, because it was making for more disobedience. And I thought also that at least I was at home looking after my husband up to a point. So I stayed on. It wasn't a very pleasant situation, because my husband just gave me the silent treatment. And that's not very good. I used to long sometimes for an argument, just anything to break the silence. He's told me since why he did that, and I condone it. I'm quite sure he did the right thing. At the time I didn't think so, though. I thought he was very hard, and to be so hard against me to do that, I thought it was just going to send me round the bend. Anyhow, I got myself a part-time job. We both made a life for ourselves as best we could, and after a little while I was able to buy a car, and I used to go away at weekends as often as I could, just to keep my sanity. And I used to go up the mountains and down the south coast, and I made some nice Christian friends at both these places. And when I used to go down to the south coast, my friend down there took me up to Stanwell Tops one year to the Christian Women's Convention. And I quite enjoyed being there. The atmosphere was beautiful, and anything that I heard that cut across my path, it stirred me up a little bit for a while, but I had that knack of being able to switch off. And so I just didn't let things worry me. For the past 3 years I've gone down there, just for the day on a Saturday, and it was this year I was wanting to know the exact date of this convention, and I remembered that last year I saw a pamphlet on the counter in at the Scripture Bookshop in at Newcastle, so I went in there to see if I could get one this year. But there wasn't anything there, but there was a young fellow in the shop talking to the manager, and I told him what I was looking for, and he had a bit of a peep round and he couldn't see anything. But he said, I know who'd be able to tell you that date, and he mentioned some name, but I didn't know the name. So he wrote it down on a piece of paper, and that's it, upside down, you can't see it. That's it. That was the beginning of the Lord dealing with me, that little bit of paper. And I can tell you, if I'd have known that person, that name on that paper, was going to be the means of what was going to happen to me, I think there and then I'd have lost it. But anyhow, he gave me this paper and I just put it in my wallet, and with no further intention of doing anything about ringing this lady. But the Lord didn't want it that way, even though I didn't ring her. 2 days later, I was at a gospel meeting out at Cardiff. And as I walked in the front door, I heard a name mentioned, and I opened my ears, and it was the name that I had on this paper. And I asked a friend who I was with who that was, and she just did a little explanation. And I said, "What's her first name?" And she told me. And I couldn't believe it. It was the name I had on this piece of paper. So after the meeting, I had her pointed out to me, and I went over and introduced myself and told her what I wanted to know. But as it happened, she just didn't know the exact date. So from then, I went down to Wollongong for some a Christian women's dinner. Then there was a convention meeting. It was the Christian women's convention that I went to, first of all. Then a month later, there was one at Toronto, and I went to this meeting, and I can't remember anything that I heard that day, except someone was talking about a lady and her daughter who lived in the same house for 20 years, and they didn't speak to each other. And one went out the front door to church, and the other one had her pointed out to me, and I went over and introduced myself and told her what I wanted to know. But as it happened, she just didn't know the exact date. So from then, I went down to Wollongong for some a Christian women's dinner. Then there was a convention meeting. It was the Christian women's convention that I went to, first of all. Then a month later, there was one at Toronto, and I went to this meeting, and I can't remember anything that I heard that day, except someone was talking about a lady and her daughter who lived in the same house for 20 years, and they didn't speak to each other. And one went out the front door to church and the other one out the back door, and that reminded me of somebody. Not that we went out of different doors, but we did go out at different times. Anyhow, the following Tuesday, I had been away that weekend, and when I came home on the Monday night, a friend rang me and she said, "There's a special luncheon at Adamstown tomorrow." Now, Adamstown was where I used to go to the meeting. That's where I went to the meeting. And she said, "Everyone's going." Well, I said, "I'm not." And I didn't know why she told me this, but anyhow, I just didn't think any more about it. Till the next morning, I got up and I was just doing my usual chores, and all of a sudden it came into my mind, why aren't you going? You go way down to Stanmore Tops, you go out to Toronto, you go here and there, why aren't you going to Adamstown? I'd never ever been to a ladies' meeting at Adamstown. So as much as I could switch off other things, I couldn't switch that one off. But I still put it in the back of my mind, and after a while I thought it kept coming back, and I thought, oh, I'll ring my daughter, she'll sure know about it. And I fought against that. I didn't want to ring my daughter. So look, in the middle of making a bed, I don't know, my legs just took me to the phone. I didn't go, my legs took me there, and I rang her up, and when she answered, I just burst into tears. I said, I don't know why I've rung you, I don't know what I'm after. And I just told her a little bit of the thoughts that were in my mind. And she said, well, would you like me to come over? And I said, yes. So she came over and she had a talk to me. She read the scriptures and she prayed with me. And I told her a little about my problem. And I finally decided, yes, I would go over. But it was after the luncheon, the time I got over there. I'd been a bit upset. But there was nothing that I can remember that I heard spoken that day that helped me, but there was one thing that struck me, and I'd just like at this point to try and pass on a little encouragement to, and to my own heart too. When we see somebody who needs help, spiritual help, let us not be afraid to Show them the love of the Lord Jesus that's in our heart. Show it out to them. There's a little writing that I read sometimes, and it says, kind looks, kind words, kind acts and warm handshakes are much needed in this confused world. And that particular day, someone showed me such a gesture, and I felt that this person cared, and it did something for me. And so I would just pass that on. Don't be afraid to show a little love when we're trying to help somebody. This happened a couple of times, as a matter of fact, and I'm sure that the Lord used that to soften my heart before he turned it. I'll take you along another 4 days now, and there was a wedding anniversary out of Cardiff, and I had been invited to this, and I had arranged to pick this lass up on this piece of paper to take her down, and we were going early because we had food to take. Well, I went to call on her. She told me that her husband was coming down later on. Now, before this, I had mentioned to her that I would tell her a little about my problem someday. I didn't intend telling her too much. I felt I'd like to get to know her, but I didn't want to get to know her too well, because I felt that she was a godly woman and I knew what would happen. She was going to have a go at me. So I just had to be very careful. Anyhow, we went down to this wedding anniversary, and I thought, oh, well, I won't be telling her to her tonight because her husband will take her home. You wouldn't believe, about 8:45 that night, a little boy got tired and his dad took him home, which meant I had to do the honours and take this other lady home, you see. So I thought, oh, well, you never know what might happen tonight. I'll tell you what, if I'd have known what was going to happen, it wouldn't have happened because I wouldn't have mentioned a word about any problem. But the Lord knew about that too. So anyhow, I dropped her off. It was about 10:15, and we were just talking about things in general for a few minutes, and there was a little bit of silence, so I thought, oh, here goes. And I've told her since, I thought it was like a high to be talking to me the first time round. I did think it would happen eventually, but not first time up. And I was telling her just a few things. I don't remember what I told her. I can't remember much about what she said to me. I remember she prayed with me and she brought scriptures before me. But or any suggestion that she made, all I could come up with was with, I can't. I can't. The problem, I was looking at that great problem. It was like a 40-foot brick wall and I couldn't get over it. And that's where I made the mistake. I was looking at the problem, it was blocking out the Lord. Anyhow, she was talking to me, and I still said, I can't. Until finally she said, I know you can't, but she said, the Lord can. She said, you say that. And I said it, I can't, but you can. She said, say it again. And I did. She said, once more. And I said, I can't, Lord, but you can. And you know what? I was beginning to believe this. Not really, but it was penetrating. And you know, I thought when I was thinking over this week, it just hit me. What happened then? Satan got in right away then. I had such a battle with him. It seemed an age. I don't know how long it was, but I'll never forget the anguish of soul and the agony of soul that I went through as I was battling with Satan. Just to tell you how real it was, I turned to my friend to speak to her, and look, in her face, I could see the anguish that she was going through, the same as I was going through. That's how real it was. Anyhow, into my thoughts came that verse of scripture, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Now, I knew what that meant. It meant that as a Christian, I had the Holy Spirit in me, and he was greater than he that was in the world, which was the devil. And I thought, I've got to prove that he's in me. I used to have doubts sometimes as to my salvation, mainly because I felt that life was going along too smoothly for me. I felt that I should be being chastised, and I didn't feel that I was. And I used to be scared stiff when I was away those weekends out in that highway. I used to ask the Lord to look after me, but I used to wonder if he was hearing me, because, you know, there's a scripture that says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord does not hear me. But somebody must have been praying for me apart from myself, because I never came to any hurt. So the Lord was good to me. Yes, I was getting to the stage where I was just saying, I can't, but you can, Lord. And just Satan, as I was having this battle with Satan, but I was still battling with him. Anyhow, my friend, after a minute, she said, "Will your husband be home?" And I looked at the clock, and it was 11:45, and I said, "I should think so at this time of the night. He will be home." Well, she said to me, "Wait for this one." She'd made some suggestions through the night that, you know, I just couldn't tell. It was still, "I can't." But then she said, "Will you go home and kiss him?" Well, I thought I'd heard everything after that. After 20 years, how was I going to be expected to go home and do that? I treated it as a joke, and I gave a couple of answers that I won't repeat here. But I must have thought it was time to go home, because I said to her, "Well, I better let you go. I've got to let you go." You know, it was 11:45. So I left her with no intention of going home and kissing anybody. That just wasn't going to happen. Anyhow, I left, and I don't know what my thoughts were on the way home. I tried even the next morning to recall them, and I couldn't. But there was one thing that struck me. I wasn't thinking all these terrible things that I used to think. When I'd think to myself, "Oh, you know, when there's just the two of us there, it could be pretty good. We could go here, we could do this, we could do that." But then I'd hit up against that brick wall, and that would just take everything away. I wasn't thinking all those horrible things. And all of a sudden, I was about 2 minutes driving time from home. And into my heart it came, "I can't, Lord, but you can." Well, I was on my way home to do it. Just that. And, you know, it struck me through the week. I didn't even think, "But what about when I come to this problem? What about when I come..." I'd never thought of that. All I was going to do was just to go home and kiss my husband. What he was going to do, I wouldn't know. But this is what I was going to do. And I stopped off at a phone box just before I got home. I rang my friend. I said, "Look, before I left," she said, "I'm going to pray for you till I drop off to sleep." And I thought, the poor thing. So I rang her up and I said, "Look," I said, "go off to sleep. I said, the first part of the battle's over. I'm going home to do what you suggested." So I get home. I was up the front steps and I went to open the wire door, and you wouldn't believe it, it had been left clipped inside and I couldn't get in. So I banged and rattled there for, it seemed an age, but anyhow, finally came out. Tell me later, it went in with the dream he was dreaming, this banging, you know, so he didn't hear it for some time. But he finally opened the door and I let him get back into bed. And then I went in and I put my arms around him. I didn't kiss him, but it wasn't because I wasn't going to. He drew back. And you couldn't blame him, could you? So I said, "Look," I said, "I just want to tell you that I want to try and do the right thing." And you know what he said? "I don't know." Well, my friend had said to me in the course of the evening, she said, "Now, your husband isn't going to reject you for long." And I thought that was a big joke. I said, "He's not going to reject me at all." I said, it's up to me." And when he said, "I don't know," I thought, well, I don't know, somebody knows things around here that I don't. So I just said it again. I said, "Look," I said, "I just want to tell you I want to try and do the right thing." I said, "Isn't that what you want?" "Oh, I suppose so." So there was nothing more said, and I went off to bed. I wasn't perturbed at all, because I realised that he'd been asleep. And although I thought saying that would awaken him from the dead, not just from the after 20 years. Anyhow, the next morning I was out getting the breakfast, and I hear some footsteps coming behind me, and I didn't turn around, they're coming closer. And then a voice said, "What were you trying to say to me last night?" And I turned around to him and I told him what I'd said the night before, and I just put my arms around him, and he took me in his arms, and that was it. There was nothing more to it. And he said, "Well, we're not going to think about the big hole, we're just going to go on from now." And I said to him, "Well, you'll have to treat me gently. You'll have to take me easy," I said, "because I've got no feeling for you." And I didn't. I didn't have an ounce of feeling for him. This was something done in faith, and there's no doubt about that. Done by the Lord. An absolute miracle of God. And you know, in 5 minutes, less than 5 minutes, I felt warm toward him. And we literally went around pinching each other all day. did. We really did. We didn't believe it had happened. After 20 years. It was never going to happen in my book. And my husband had given up hope 2 years before. I had been in hospital for an operation, and when I came home, he tried to be a little bit kind, and he, you know, used to wipe up, religiously wipe up every tea time, and I used to wish he'd go because there was no talking, and you know, I'd rather wiped up myself, except that I was tired after I'd come home from work, and I thought, oh well, why not, and I'd put up with it, but there's many times I used to rattle those saucepans on the end of the sink just to make a noise, because I thought I'd go around the bend without any talking and that. Anyhow, it was really wonderful that day. We couldn't believe it. And when I look back on it now, it still amazes me. There's no doubt about it. But the Lord has proved to me since then, this is what happened through one step of obedience in faith. And it can happen to anybody. It can happen to one who isn't a Christian. This is all it needs. One step in faith. And you'll have the same joy and gladness that I have. And there's been a couple of instances in the last 3 or 4 weeks. You know, even on cloud nine there can be turbulences, you know, get your bumps up and down. So anyhow, there was a couple of instances that pretty personal, so I won't go into detail, but I felt I was, you know, a bit hard done by, and could have had a little bit more consideration. And I took a couple of scriptures and showed them. But I'll tell you, a couple of scriptures I turned up to, and I was thinking to myself, yes, I'll show him this one. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. But on the same page, I looked down and I saw, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. And I thought, right. And I just want to say this now. When you have these times, things don't go smooth all the time, I know that, but don't worry about whether you think your husband's being thoughtless towards you or inconsiderate. That's his problem. Just think about yourself and what you should do, and ask the Lord, and you know what you should do, and do it. And you know, I did that. I came to grips with this and I did that, and the Lord made up to me in a wonderful way. And the other instance, I was really hopping mad about this one because I thought I was hard done by, and I looked at this other scripture. Likewise ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honour unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. But on that same page, I don't know, I seem to get something else for myself on the same page, and I read, but what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently. But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps. Who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed his cause to him that judgeth righteously. And I thought again, well, this is what I've got to do. I've got to commit my cause to the Lord. And I did that. And the moment, I'll tell you what, over this incident, I was really put out, and I got a real hard feeling towards my husband. At the moment I was willing to let the Lord handle it, I lost that hard feeling, and such an inner peace that I got. It was tremendous. And do you know what? I only had to wait the next day, and things were all straightened out, and it was to my benefit. So it was well worth, it's well worth the being obedient. And this is what I want to try and get through to you, that being obedient is the real secret and the real answer. And there were four things I proved that night. One was the power of Satan. And boy, that was some power. The second one was the overall power of the Holy Spirit. Then there was the power of prayer. I knew some people were praying for me. In fact, one of my friends said to me one time, she was talking to me, and she said, well, I'll keep on praying for you, Dot. I said, forget it. You're wasting your time. I wish she was here tonight. I'd thank her for wasting the time. And I'll thank all you other ladies who prayed for us over those 20 years. It was a long time, wasn't it, to expect anybody to pray. But anyhow, there was the power of prayer. And the fourth thing was the fact that if God could do that for me, There's nothing he can't do. That impossibility. I was just going to go on and on and on and on till I died or till the Lord came, and I wasn't looking forward to that because I knew I was disobedient. But I was just content to go on because I just knew that I wasn't going to be ever any different. But the Lord has been good to me, and I'm getting to know him every day. I haven't got a great knowledge of the scriptures, but I'm getting to know the Lord, and I do love him. And that was something to me. I remember I had a little job there just a couple of afternoons a week, and I can remember one afternoon coming home from work, driving my car, and just out of the blue I said, "Lord, I love you." And it was just something that came from my heart. It just filled my heart with joy to think I could say that, "Lord, I love you." And so I did trust that this experience that I've had, if there's anybody here that's had a similar experience or in similar circumstances, it's only the Lord who can help you. But you must know him first. You must know the Lord before you can ask his help. You know, if you were decided to perhaps turn a room around at home, you wanted to lift the furniture around, there was no one there to help you, no way would you run out to the front gate and call somebody in off the street that you didn't know, would you? You'd get your next door neighbour, maybe, that's someone you knew. And so you can't get help from the Lord until you know him. You must know him first. And there's only one way to do that. You just acknowledge your sin before him and accept him as having paid the penalty for your sin at Calvary. Accept him as your own personal saviour, and you'll have the same joy and the happiness that I have.